Well, this is Chris and Matthew reporting from underneath the spreading chestnut tree.
Exactly that.
Well, we've come out onto one of the wildflower fields here. It should be prime butterfly country, this. But, Chris, you're having a little chuckle there.
Yes, I was chuckling because we were then going to walk into this field, and sometimes I search for hours looking for a particular species, and one flew right towards us and landed on the grass right in front of us. Let's see if we can see him.
Oh, or just her, there?
And he's facing slightly the wrong way.
Red wing?
Red, well, it's not red, it's not purple, it's called vermilion.
Oh, thanks, vermilion.
It's a really odd colour, it's halfway between the two. And this is a six-spot Burnet moth, and it's not being very obliging, but it might turn round. It's on one of its favourite food plants at the moment, which is knapweed. And there's lots of it growing here, and crystal vetch as well. Oxide daisies are just about finished, and there's another one over there.
It's flying, that one.
That's a flying, and it's a moth, Matthew, a day-flying moth. And when you have, when you see one together like this, you'll often see dozens of them, because they're colonial. They live in huge numbers in a particular spot, and the one near us has just taken off and gone to look for the mate over here. Let's just see if we can follow this one. We feel like a couple of Victorian butterfly collectors. And it's still flitting away, just flying very slowly. They're rather cumbersome flyers, but I'm keeping my eye on it. And it's still flying. Oh, two.
Oh, there's two or three there.
Three. That's exactly what I wanted to see. Let's hope they land and we can go and have a closer look at some of the colours on them, because they are quite exquisite. They're all in the air at the moment.
The wings are going 19 to the dozen, aren't they?
Yes, yeah. Let's just walk in a little bit and see if we can find one that's settled down. The wind will often, it's just moving the plants around so much. They're meadow browns we just disturbed. And it's a fantastic year for our commonest butterfly, the meadow brown. Many people say there's a distinct lack of butterflies this year. But here, because these wildflower fields have been established over such a long time now, there's a kind of resident population built up. And it doesn't really vary much between the years now, that I've discovered. So let's just see if we can find one of these elusive moths. Nice honeybee there, feeding on the knapweed, gathering the pollen on its legs. Grasshopper creeping through the undergrowth just there. And
a movement in the undergrowth, and it's rat.
Yes, he's just rejoined us. He's enjoying this because there's lots of nice scents around. Now he's decided to roll in the wildflowers, which isn't very helpful. And I can see something which is a huge clue here. Just look at this oxide daisy stem, and it looks a little bit unusual.
Yes, there's some growth, isn't there?
Yes, it's the larval case of the six-spot Burnet moth, and it's just emerged. I can pull that up because it's actually it's actually emerged and has flown off. And just as they emerge, it leaves this little black pupal case there, and the case is almost paper-like and translucent, and that's...
Is that part of it as well, that lighter?
Yes, this bit.
It almost looks like part of the plant.
It absolutely is incredible, isn't it? And this is the little pupal case that the six-spot Burnet moth probably emerged out of this morning and has flown out, and it's one of those that's flying all around us. We'll get up close to one in a moment. This is quite amazing. So it kind of wells itself to the plant stalk like this, and... is translucent. So if you hold it up to the light, now it's empty without the moth in there.
It's about an inch long.
Yes, and that's the little case that it was in, and it's just popped out on the ground, and then you're left with this little transparent sheath, just perfect like that. And really beautiful. And so I did say they're kind of lazy moths, because they'll just spend their entire life in one particular area. And this is one of the areas on the farm where I'm pretty well guaranteed to see them. And they're poisonous. They're brightly coloured. The green and the vermilion red colour on the top of the wings serves as a warning to birds. And early butterfly collectors used to collect burnet moths, the 5 and 6 spot burnets, as well as the forester moths as well, which are closely related. And they'd put them in their cyanide bottles, and the moths would be hovering around in there, almost untouched. And that's because they've got hydrogen cyanide in their bodies, which they harvest from their food plant, which is right in front of us here, and it's birdfoot trefoil. And the trefoil plants have quite a high concentration of hydrogen cyanide in their sap, and the butterflies take that on board and use it as a kind of deterrent for birds, because if you're flying about a sort of slow flying insect like a burnet moth, then you're quite vulnerable to birds. And that's why that little pupal case that we saw is about 8 or 9 inches up the stalk. That means most birds wouldn't be able to find it. It's completely camouflaged, so it's kind of a insurance against being predated. But if a bird did actually catch a burnet moth, it would quickly spit it out, because it's got a kind of yellow substance in the body, in the thorax, which it can exude, and it's highly unpalatable. And birds, if one bird did eat one, it would never have a go at another one. So it kind of a lesson is learnt then. So there we are. If we just stand, or I stand up again, and we'll just walk back and see if we can catch
them. Seem to be plenty of them here.
Yes, just here behind us here. Matthew. See what I mean?
Yes.
My eye is, over the years, has learnt to actually find one. And there's one, again, on its favourite food plant there, which is this knapweed. Knapweed's a really superb summer flower. It looks like a thistle in flower. But in fact, it's not too closely related, and it comes into flower late June, all of July, and into August. And there's lots to come here, and it's a favourite food because it produces a huge amount of pollen and nectar as well, and that's what this moth is feeding on. It's just getting its energy up, although the food plant for the 6-spot burnet is in fact the bird's foot trefoil, other legumes as well, and vetches and things. Right, it's just turning round now.
I can see the spots really clearly.
Look at that, Matthew. Iridescent green on the body, and it's a perfect freshly emerged example. In broad sunlight, full broad daylight in full sun, and it's a moth. And some scientists begin to think that these burnet moths form a transition zone between the butterflies, which you see at this time of the year, and moths, which mainly fly at night. And it's a kind of meeting point where the two species actually start to meet. So it's causing a lot of controversy. Now, you can see the spots really clearly on each wing.
Yes, all of them.
Three lots of two on each wing.
Bright vermilion.
That's it. That's the correct colour. I mean, it's not red, is it? And it's not purple. There it goes. And
those wings really do go fast.
Yes, and the wings go off in a blur, and then at the same time it exposes its underwings, which are all vermilion as well. So you kind of have these bright red petticoats flying around, and it finishes off just there, a lovely dark meadow brown butterfly. That's the male down there, just flitting about in the base of the wildflowers here. So there we are, all the little cases. And the caterpillars feed on this all these yellow flowers here, the vetches and the bird's foot trefoil, and they're rather dumpy. They're black with little yellow spots on them and dark green as well on the main part of the body. And so they're quite hard to find. But when I'm harvesting on this field, and I've just done a little bit right beside us here, about half an acre, and I haven't cut the plants down. I've just folded them over, and I've been after the yellow rattle, and it's a brilliant year for the yellow rattle seed, and I've been busy sieving that like an old-fashioned gold panner with my sieve in the farmyard underneath the sycamore tree in the centre of the farmyard.
It's quite a time-consuming task, isn't it?
It is hugely time-consuming, but the seed goes off all over the UK and helps establish really good quality wildflower fields like this one, where there's not too much grass. When you look down in here, Matthew, you can virtually see no grass whatsoever. It's really unusual. It is all just wildflowers, and that's thanks to that plant there, which you can see lots of there, and I managed to get the seed out of it without harming the flowers themselves.
You get the right mix of plants, and you end up with species like six-spot burnet.
Yes, you're telling me. Yep, beautiful and stunningly attractive as well. Two of them just over there hovering. As you can see, they're quite cumbersome flyers. And this is their patch. It's probably 50 metres by 50 metres. And although there's 100 acres behind us, this is the only point on this particular field where you'll find the burnet moss. They're kind of almost lazy. That's why we call them colonial. They live together in a group, and they kind of like it that way.
Tell you someone else who likes it here. Rat, he's fallen asleep, hasn't he?
Right by our feet. He's rolled himself a little patch, and he's stretched out in the full sun. No, he's decided to get up. Probably a bit hot for him. The hotter, the better, he thinks. And he sunbathes out in the middle of the farmyard on the hottest day on the pea shingle, and you can hardly walk on it. It's that hot. I mean, he loves it. Crazy.
Mad dogs.
An Englishman, I know, before you add it.
Cool, Rat's got the right idea, hasn't he? Basking in the sun. Oh, well, I really hope you enjoyed just a flavour of what's been recorded at High Ash Farm this month with Chris Skinner. As always, if you would like to listen to more episodes, you can head to countrysidepodcast.co.uk, or you can call us 01603 273 899 for our CD service. And if you've got a question for Chris, you can call on that number or email Chris directly, chris@countrysidepodcast.co.uk.